We thought we got rid of her for good.
She's like a goddamn cockroach. Can't kill her, and certainly can't get rid of her.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. My name is Tom, and I am your host, and as always, I'm here in the room with my amazing co-hosts, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
It is Monday. I am back. I am burnt, crispy, and like you said, I'm like a roach, bitch. You can't get rid of me.
I know, we tried.
We tried so hard.
It's like, so they were, so I had gone away this weekend, and I went to Orlando to visit mom for Mother's Day. It was an amazing weekend. And so these two were already trying to figure out who had what as far as the deed and who was getting the house, and they were sort of kind of fighting it out.
Mm-hmm. I get the house.
I was going to shoot her in the face.
I have the house and the closet, so.
You can have the closet.
Oh, Chris,
and by the closet, I mean the shed out back.
Chris said, on your way here, I thought that, you know, the plane was going to come down, and I'm like literally like running down with the flag to just stake my claim. Yeah,
absolutely. Like, he's down in Florida. I'm like, build the wall.
Oh, she's nasty. But no, overall, it was an amazing, it was an awesome time. And I'm crispy.
You are crispy.
I am burnt.
You are crispy.
Let me just
zoom in on here. That Popeye's.
Yeah, look at this.
That Popeye's skin right there.
It's burning. So, but I had a good time. So how are you, boys?
I'm fine.
Yeah?
I'm here. I'm queer.
What's going on over there?
So I posted on Insta. I said, ask us a question, and I'm waiting to see if we get a question.
Yeah. So what is our Insta, in case people are listening on our live stream and want to just send us a message that way?
Since y'all don't call us. Just saying.
It's Gay Talk, at Gay Talk 20.
Yeah. Don't forget that app part.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Instagram? Gay at Talk 2.0?
No, it's at Gay Talk. Gay Talk 2.0.
Oh, come on.
So sorry, my bad.
It's only 3 years in. We're still learning. It's okay.
Well, exactly, right? That's what I said. So anyway, so we're here. We're doing another show. I am a little, I can't say that I'm jet lagged. I'm just like tired. It's been traveling. It's like
same time zone, girl. But yeah. Yes, you are tired. Traveling is exhausting.
It is. It really is. I got up at 6 in the morning to make sure that I got to my mom's place and picked up all the other people that were coming with us on our trip back home. And nonetheless, it was just exhausting. But I'm here and I'm alive, and I survived the 95 degrees inferno mm-hmm. that was Orlando, Florida. Mm-hmm. Muggy. I swear I feel like the devil from hell came and sat his ass crack on Orlando, Florida while I was there.
Girl, you invited him.
I did.
Anyway, like you definitely get exhausted from traveling, but you also get that, like, you know, that travel stank. Like, you're not doing anything.
It's like you're dusty.
Yeah, almost. Like, the first, I remember when you two picked me up from the airport. When
YouTube?
I came back. You two.
Oh,
us two. Thank you. Yes. The both of you. The collection of.
When I actually cared about them.
Yes, exactly. Right? And I was waiting for you guys, and you all wanted to hug me and everything. Well, Trish was, you know, reluctant to hug me.
No, but I was actually crying, I think.
Actually, you were crying. He was like, oh, God, he's made it. He's back. Damn it.
This was a time where we met that guy that called Trump
shit-gibbon. Yeah. Exactly.
I love it.
But you guys came in to embrace me, and I was like, I have travel stank. Like, the first thing I did was literally we opened your trunk, and I changed. Like, you do nothing, but for some reason, you just fucking stink.
Yeah, you just sit there in your own shit for, like, however many hours.
Yeah, and then you're stuck on that plane. Well, you also got the altitude shits. Like, you came back and you were spending some time on the throne when you got here. It wasn't no Iron Throne or whatever the hell you guys do with Game of Thrones. Is it Iron?
Yeah, the Iron Throne.
Yay! Look at me. I'm informed. And I'm done now because I nailed that.
Some crazy shit is going on, but
we're not going to talk about it. That
because she hasn't seen it, and she'll kill me. If
yeah, and all those bitches in Hungary, too, so, are getting mad at you.
So before I talk about my weekends, I want to throw it off to you two babies because I want to know what you guys did while I was gone. So why don't we start with you, Christopher?
Me?
Yeah.
I just worked. Done. Boom. That's it. I worked. Yeah. That's it. That's all my weekend was.
I had to take care of the house this weekend Tom was away. And the dogs.
The one that I signed over while I was drunk.
Mm-hmm. They're alive. They're well.
Uh-huh.
It was nice. Saturday, I spent the day with Paul and his brother-in-law and sister. It was his brother-in-law's birthday, and we had a wonderful, crazy evening.
To say the least.
Yeah, no, it's just always fun when they come up to visit. And then on Sunday, I meant to get up and do things, but what I ended up doing was some laundry and sitting on the couch and watching HGTV all day long. And then your best friend showed up to because we were changing of the guard because I had to go to work and then whatever. And she came and then we had a serious fucking heart to heart. We started talking about because we've never really had a chance to really talk.
Yeah.
We've known each other for years, but we just were sitting there and then we started talking. And then next thing I know, we're both crying. And I'm like, what are we doing? And we were just sharing our life stories together. And it was actually really, she's a beautiful person. I really enjoy her.
And now you're besties. Yeah. I love Jack. Jack to me is, she's one of my rocks, right? It's like when you need someone to talk to, that's who I have. And when we get together, it just all comes full circle, you know, because we've known each other for well over 15 years. And so.
Wait, so how old are you?
We already know.
I know, but it's just I can't let that go.
I know. I was
going
to be so how long ago did you meet?
How old were you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you a story on how I met her. So we used to both frequent partners many years ago.
No.
And it's got to be over 15 years. And she used to walk in, and Jack has always had very beautiful hair. But I was doing hair at the time, and I walked up to her, and I'm like, you know, I didn't know how to say hi to her, right? I just knew that she was infectious. And I knew that I had to say hi to her and get to know her, but I didn't know how to do that. So I just walked up to her and be like, who does your hair? And she goes well, I do. And I'm like, oh, girl, you need to let me do it. And I gave her my phone number and she just looked at me like, I will murder you.
And, yeah, it sounded like an insult, just saying.
Well, sort of, kind of. And at the time, really, I was young and I really didn't think that that would sound like an insult. But many months later, on her birthday weekend, she calls me up and says, all right, I'm going to give you a try. And I did. And I went over her house. I was a traveling hairstylist at the time. And I would bring all of my equipment and everything. And I gave her a complete makeover. And we've been friends ever since.
You know, so. It's funny. When we were talking last night, I said to her, I was like, you know, I'm really glad we got this time to talk, because I always knew you had a story. I just didn't know it. And I'm so glad to know that part of you now. Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know, I felt the same way. I've always wanted to talk to you. I'm like, if you're in Tommy's life, you've had some fucked up shit happen to you. So,
facts.
So, he doesn't just bring in people that, you know, are surface people. Like, you've got depth to you. And so, we had this moment, and I was just like, it was just really nice.
It's deep. It's deep.
I can imagine sitting down with her, having my heart to heart with her. She's like, what's going on, Chris? What's making you so sad? I'm like, you know, 3 years ago, I started this podcast with these three bitches.
I cannot with him.
She's funny.
And she'll probably turn around and be like, and you're better for it. You know, bitches or not, it just rubs off. You become a better bitch.
I know.
You know?
And then there were three.
Yeah, you're like Cersei on steroids.
I'm on what on steroids?
Cersei.
Yeah, he doesn't understand Game of Thrones.
Oh,
of
yeah. Thrones. No, she's Iron Throne.
She's the current queen of the Seven Kingdoms.
That's Iron Throne, decapitation, incest.
Yes.
I got it down.
Yeah, that's it in a nutshell. Yeah. That's all eight seasons. But no,
I just saved myself so much time.
She, overall, I will have to tell you, she is one of my rocks. I have very few people that that when we come together, it's, you know, every night can be a heart to heart, but every night is just as gratifying and satisfying to have friends like her. So she's in my life.
She's
and
gentle, I call her Jack, she's tough.
Because she's
Jack. Genuine.
You know, she's
love her.
Just Jack.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And that's awesome. So your weekend was good. My babies are still alive. They were well taken care of. I came home and they were lovey-dovey.
We had a moment, and your dogs.
Did you?
Yeah. Almost beat the shit out of Fitz.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Dog abuse.
I'm sorry. When that dog goes after Oliver, I get so angry. And I'm like, what the Why?
Why?
Oliver was literally trying to, like, just come and cuddle up next to me. Mm-hmm. And because on his couch, when the, like, thing is down,
jealous, yeah.
There's not much room. And he kind of slid off the couch. It was super cute. He, like, slid off and fell on the floor. But he fell, like, right next to Fitz. And Fitz just went at him. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they get nasty.
It makes me
so... Oh, Fitz gets mean.
Yeah. And I'm like, Fitz, that's your little brother. Like...
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that Fitz was
a princess
for 2 years before Oliver came along, and so it's I have to balance the way I deal with them and as far as how I show affection, because Fitz, the moment Fitz feels like he's being left out,
mm-hmm.
it is World War III. He's like Cersei on steroids.
Yes. No, it's World War V. It skips. It's so intense, it skips World War III and IV.
So I have an idea.
Yeah.
Instead of Chris getting the house, because that's not going to happen, you can have the dogs.
I mean, don't you think that you would, like Tom said, you took care of them so well, and I actually have a quote to back it up. Trish actually texted me on Thursday. She sent me a selfie of her sitting on the couch, and I was like, well, I'm at work, I can't hang out. And he's like, oh, can't we just cuddle, please? And I was like, yeah, super busy. And then she said, well, how are nights going? And it was, quote, I'm watching a movie and drowning the animals, then bed. So that, you know what? They were so well taken care of.
I cannot.
These are my babies.
It's so true. Yeah. I'm going to watch this movie, then I'm going to drown them, and then I'm going to bed. It's fine.
Yeah, but I love my boys.
But, you know, Oliver's developed this new thing that he does. Well, at least since I've been watching the dogs, where if you're not giving him enough attention, he kind of like paws at you. He like kneads at you like a little kitten.
To the corner of the
blanket or whatever it is.
Yes.
And I was like,
because you know what he's waiting for, right? He's waiting for you to say, okay, come on. And then he'll jump on you.
Yeah. Well, you know what he did the other day? He woke me up literally by pulling the blankets off of me. He was literally pulling them off.
Do you let him go under the
Yeah, blanket? No. Absolutely. Before I go to bed, I lift it up and they both crawl under and then.
Yeah, he does that. Let me tell you, they're my babies. Those are my babies. They're spoiled. I know. And a lot of the stuff that happens, it happens because I spoil them, but they're my babies.
Yeah, they run the house. You know?
And I'm only going to have them for what, you know, on average, a dog, especially Yorkies.
Oh, don't say this.
I don't want to go there.
14, 15 years, so I'm going to make sure that those years are the best they can have.
Girl, they're going to outlive you.
Even if, that's probably true. Even if they argue with each other from time to time. But that's, you know, just got to make sure they live their best life.
Mm-hmm. Like they are so prissy.
Yeah.
It was raining on Sunday. I opened the door. They went outside and went right back to the door. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. You're not going to go to the bathroom outside today, are you?
Yeah, nope. And that's it. So anyway, so I went down, as I mentioned before, and last week, I went down with my brother and two of my aunts. One's psycho, and a friend, one of my mother's really good friends from here, and we went down and to surprise her. So I got home and I got to her door, and it was midnight. It's like 12:20 somewhere around there, and I call her and I'm like, "Oh my God, Mom, you're never gonna guess what happened," and she's panicking at this point. What's going on? I was sleeping. What happened? Who's hurt? And blah blah blah. I'm like, I will tell you if you open the door. And she goes like, shut up. And I'm like, and of course she comes to the door and she opens the door and she just starts crying.
I forgot it was a surprise.
Yeah, it was a complete. She didn't know we were going. So we just showed up, and then I dropped my aunts off and her friend, and they all sort of kind of, you know, made their way into the house and figured out where everyone was going to sleep. And then I went over to the resort that I had. I rented a room for my brother and I.
The Plantation.
The Oak Plantation Resort in Kissimmee, Florida.
Nailed it.
And it was actually very nice. The compound itself, I call it a compound.
The compound. This isn't in fucking Guadalajara. Like, it's in Florida.
Well, it's gated, right? And so the premises were actually very beautiful. They have an amazing pool with a bar. That's a plus.
That's a necessity.
Yes, yeah. It is. Especially in 95 degree heat and, you know, and water.
I don't care if it's negative 30. It's a necessity.
I would have been like, is it Sunday?
If I'm swimming or ice skating, yeah, right? Like,
it's just overall, it was an amazing, amazing stay. I ended up getting this little villa, and it's cute, right? Because it's got like a two level thing.
Like a townhouse kind of thing.
Yeah. And it had like its own kitchen and dining room and living room. But the furniture was outdated. And I think that, you know, I would have been more pleased if things were a little bit more updated and they
were. You were in Kissimmee, Florida.
Of yeah, course.
Facts.
But overall.
Shout out to all of our listeners in Kissimmee. Yeah. We don't think you're outdated.
No, just the Oak Plantation Resort. But overall, it was a very good stay. The people were friendly. They were courteous. They got, you know, if I needed something, they got it right away. But Friday, I'll tell you very quickly, I decided, I was like, you know what? It's hot. We're not just going to hang around at mom's house. Why don't we just all go back to my hotel and we go and spend time in the pool and just hang out by the pool? You can't say that to Puerto Ricans.
Oh, no, clearly. Big. There were so many people at that house when you were sending me that message the other day. Like, what? No, no, no.
Big mistake. So we all go back to my room first where everyone changed, and then we walk over to the pool area, and here comes my aunt with a huge cooler full of beer bottles, beer and God knows what not, and you can't have glass or alcohol in the pool area. That's one of the rules.
You can't have alcohol?
You can't have alcohol
in the pool. Florida. Pass on that.
But the bar was there. So I guess maybe they wanted you to buy their alcohol.
You couldn't bring your
own. Oh, that makes sense now. I get it, because you said the bar was there. I was like, why won't they allow booze? I thought it was the glass.
Though. No one says no to my aunt. She's one of those like crazy Puerto Ricans like me.
I was going to say, no one says no to you.
Or me.
Or, yeah.
Well, actually, no. A lot of people say no to me. Yeah, actually, but it only has to do with sex.
Yeah, I said no earlier.
Truth. Facts. No, but so she brought that cooler in there anyway. And it must have had like 40 or 50 beer bottles in it. And so I quickly said, okay, guys, if we're going to do this, we're going to hide them. One, and then we're going to have to get plastic cups, because you can't walk around with beer bottles in a pool area because it's dangerous.
Right.
And so, but she was like, I don't care. You know, typical Puerto Ricans. I tell you, we're crazy. But
I know.
We brought it in anyway, and then we ended up just drinking and hanging out by the pool. And overall, it was an amazing thing. I will tell you, though, so it is mating season for peacocks.
Pretty much mating season for every species,
including me.
Humans. Well, I said other than humans.
Have you ever heard a male peacock call out for a female? But really loud. And then it starts. So when it sees a female, it just literally just opens right. It was gorgeous.
Does it? It opens up for the mating part too?
Yeah. That's how they attract the females, right? That's the whole purpose of having this amazing, beautiful mane of feathers.
I mean, that might be a reason to attract females, but also the reason that they open up like that is to deter predators.
Yeah.
That could be too, but
the main thing is for mating.
Yeah.
Well, no, I think it's probably equally the same. It's like those birds that like the male birds that are really pretty and they like blow up and then they like do these crazy dances.
Open a mountain
and then the woman's like, nah, bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You make yourself look bigger. Like when a mountain lion comes at you, you know, open up your jacket and make yourself look big.
So long story short, for the weekend, I was surrounded by
survival
cock.
Notes.
Yeah. I was surrounded by cock, just not the right kind, but it was very pretty cock. It was a peacock. Gorgeous. They were all over the place. They were constantly calling. So when I checked in, the girl goes, if you hear someone yelling, no one's getting murdered. It's just peacocks. It's mating season, and they're just doing their thing.
Well, that's a perfect time for someone to murder people.
At all nights good of point. The hour. So,
take a note.
Yeah, it was just amazing. But overall, it was good. So anyway, welcome back. We do have work to do, right? We got to get into our dish and do all that good stuff.
Now that it's time for break.
Almost. We still got 10 minutes. All right. So listen, I'm going to kick it over to Christopher. He's going to tell us what we're suggesting for our cocktail today, and then we'll move on to our stories.
Absolutely. I was looking for a rainy day cocktail because it's fucking soaking, sobbing, miserable, wet outside. It's like
living with Chris.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, on a good day. But it's kind of like a mini nor'easter. I actually heard on the local news station when we came. It's coming down from the Mass area. So
oh my God, Didi Khan just requested me on Facebook.
Oh,
Frenchie so from Greece. Anyway, go on.
So Chris was saying, so we're talking about the storm that's outside, but I was more looking forward to what's coming up next week. I believe it is Memorial Day weekend.
I think it's the week after.
It is the week after. Excuse me. 2 weeks for Memorial Day. So I was looking up Memorial Day cocktails.
As we pull out our phones.
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, dates and times and numbers are hard. Anyway, so this cocktail came
Memorial Day is the 27th, which is 2 Mondays from now.
Cool. So we can finally get to this cocktail uninterrupted. So this cocktail, it sounded good to me because we all love tequila.
We do.
We
grow it.
Do we?
Yeah,
agave. We grow tequila?
I have agave in the back.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
We can make you are going to have an embargo lawsuit with Mexico. All right. So anyway, the cocktail that we're suggesting is the ginger mint margarita.
Tell us.
Doesn't that sound delicious?
It does.
So no. we should ginger and mint. Ginger and mint.
Like, I don't like ginger, so.
Okay. Well, this one has ginger root in it, so you're really going to love it. So we're actually going to maybe do this for Memorial Day. Or we'll come with a cocktail. Anyway, it consists of 1 ounce Cointreau, which is an orange liqueur, 2 ounces or more of white tequila or silver tequila, 3/4 ounce of fresh lime juice, 2 slices of fresh ginger root, and 5 mint leaves. You muddle the ginger and the mint in the bottom of a cocktail shaker, add the Cointreau, tequila, lime juice, and the ginger root, which is already in there. And then you add the ice to the cocktail shaker, shake that up, and then fine strain it over fresh rocks and garnish with a nice mint sprig, maybe another piece of lime.
Can you tell me about how you actually muddle things? Because I know I do it wrong.
Very gently.
Yeah.
Very gently. You do not want to shred. This is not... You look at a muddler as releasing the oils of the plant. And when Trish does it, it's like, why have a muddle? She just give her a weed whacker.
She's purifying. She's like pureeing the veggies that we threw in there.
Exactly.
I hate you so much.
And then she just throws it all in the shaker and she's like, shake, 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 Shinoda.
Shake it, body, Lina.
Thank you. See? Come on. But
your cocktail. Yeah. The ginger mint margarita.
Margarita. Okay.
Margarita. Cubed ice with me, shaved ice with her. Weed whacker.
Ah. All right. So thank you, Christopher, for letting us know what our suggested cocktail is for today.
Yabol!
We do have some stories, some good news, some not so good, and some so happy stories. And so I wanted to just quickly jump into the first one. This story comes to us courtesy, of course, of Mama Kim, who sends us all these amazing stories throughout the week that we read up on. And this last story that I looked at from our emails was published on May 7th this year. And it's talking about parents who surprised their transgender son with very, very amazingly touching tattoos. So their parents went out and got tattoos put on them in the shape of a heart with the transgender flag on them. And I thought that it was very touching and beautiful because it really does show that these parents went out of their way to let their son know that they are supportive and amazing, and how touching and fitting it would be for, you know, for the upcoming, you know, Mother's Day weekend, and of course, you know, Father's Day next month. And but it just really shows that, you know, no matter what we hear about all the craziness that's going on in the world, we do have parents that actually are out there that care for their children, and acts like this and things like this mean the world to your kids. And you have no idea when you do something like this, and when you reaffirm someone's identity, what it means to them and what it does for them. So bravo to these parents. I think they get claps because...
You know what this reminds me of?
Yeah.
So we all know I have a tattoo on my foot.
You too.
I think I've told the story before.
Yes.
But when my father... I was down in Florida and I was like, Dad, let's go... Neither of my parents have tattoos, but everyone else besides my brother does. And I was like, Dad, you're going to get a tattoo this week. You're going to get one that matches my rainbow on my foot. You're going to get a rainbow on your foot. He's like, Nick, you're all the rainbow I need. And like, yeah, I mean, like, would I be happy if my dad had a rainbow on his body? Fuck yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, that's enough affirming for me.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's not everyone's cup of tea, but I think...
I should have responded with, I'm pretty much enough rainbow for everybody.
That is true. That is true.
It pulls rainbow out of my own life.
It's like he spits Skittles.
Mm. You know, my parents, you know, it's so funny because I feel like when I go home, I'm a little different. Like, you know, like I kind of like, I'm not as...
Well, you leave the craziness outside.
Right. But if they knew how gay I am in real life, I feel like they would be like shocked. Like I'm like straight up jaw drop.
I think they know. It's just, I think they appreciate it more when you leave it outside the door. Because you're crazy enough.
I think they'd be more worried if they found out how much you spend on Bondo.
I mean, that's a valid
That
point,
is. Yeah. They would probably start paying your rent.
And I think I said that wrong. I think Dad appreciates that. He knows how extra you can be. And I think he appreciates it when you just leave it outside the door.
Speaking of Bondo.
Bondo. What? Oh, God.
So, this past week... One of our friends of the show that we don't talk about. came to the theater and was doing a barbecue for us. And he brings baby wipes with him because he sweats when he's cooking. And so he wipes down his face. And I was sweating because I was like setting up and running around and doing all that stuff. And I looked at him. I'm like, I can't use that. And he's like, why? I'm like, because my face is going to come off. And everybody was like, I can't right now. I can't. I'm like, but it's true. It's like, I'm just going to have to deal with the sweat until I get home because I can't wipe it down.
Yeah. Well, but it also helps set in too.
Doesn't the sweat like take it off?
No.
No, not really. A little like, bit. I'm a little picturing bit. You dab. You don't want to wipe.
Because I'm picturing you sweating like Tommy sweats. And all I'm thinking about is that scene at the end of Raiders of the
like
Lost
mascara,
Ark.
Where for
they're
Christ's
like,
sake.
They open the fucking Ark and their faces are like melting down and everything.
If I were to ever be a drag queen, I would look like Carrie with like just makeup instead of blood just running.
Pig's
down my
blood.
Head.
And like, let's be clear. I don't wear makeup. I do wear makeup, but it's not like I like. It's, yeah, we call it Bondo, but it's like, it's just like a color corrector. It's not like I'm painting for an hour and a half. I paint for like 5 minutes.
It makes her look human.
Yeah. Otherwise, I look like, well, not human.
Yeah. It's pretty, yeah. No, we appreciate the work you do.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it too.
And it looks fabulous.
Sometimes.
It does, yeah. Sometimes.
Now I'm thinking about Tom as a drag queen. I feel like the only.
I have done it before.
I feel like I would be the only uglier drag queen than you.
Oh, I was gorgeous.
Of course
I
you would be.
Gorgeous.
That was me. It was more meant to be an insult to myself, but it did sound mean toward you. So I redact that statement.
No, but I can
redact it.
I can imagine you. You do realize that you have to shave to be a drag queen.
That's
no. I mean, like there are plenty of bearded drag queens.
Yeah, I would be the ugliest of the bearded drag queens.
Yeah.
I mean, like.
Maybe you can join the Sisterhood of the Perpetual something something from DC. Remember them?
Yeah.
They're like the bearded drag queens that dress up like nuns.
But I would. Oh, yes.
You
I
could also
that.
Just wear like a dress and heels and like put a bag over your face. That would work.
That would be the plan. Also, we all know I'm graceful as fuck, so heels would not be an option.
Well,
there'd be
at
some
least it'd be better than Mama. She falls down without even heels.
Yeah, no, she's not allowed to wear
heels. Can you tell me again about the story when she was a little girl?
Oh, yes. Let's talk about Mama. When we were talking about gators, that one?
Yeah.
Okay, I do need to clear up that we're not talking about Mama Kim. We're talking about Chris's best friend, Mama.
Mama.
Who we call Mama.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you know, she's my mama, and I'm her baby.
Okay.
So Mama, like I was explaining to the guys, because Tom was, as we know, was in Kissimmee, Florida. And in that area of Florida, they have, or the Orlando region, they have a place called Gatorland. It's pretty much a zoo for alligators, kind of maybe a sanctuary might be a better term. I don't know. I mean, they're kind of assholes. But anyway, so I had gone there with Liz and my friend Jason when we went on a road trip right after I graduated high school down there. And Liz had showed us pictures when she went when she was a little girl. But of course, when we were talking outside, for those of you who can see us, I was like, you know, when she was little, it's like pretty much at the point, you know, like 5'8". When
like
she was
taller than me.
Yeah, when she was a little girl. Because it's Mama. And there's a picture of her, and I'm waiting for her to send it to me. She said she's not going to, but I'll find it. Of her sitting on an alligator, holding its mouth shut. And it's the fucking best. The only better picture is the one where she drops all the coins and I'm just walking away from her.
I don't know. Jose showed me a picture this weekend of Mama when you were trying to crawl into bed with her. And clearly the bed was already taken.
Oh, the one where she...
We shouldn't say that on air. But I was like, it was so funny because like there was this photo and you're like, oh, I was going to crawl. But there, clearly that spot's taken.
He said he showed you that?
Yeah. And when I say that spot's taken, there wasn't another person in the bed. So use your imagination.
Oh, my God. But seriously, let's give a shout out to Mama because she is only one semester away from being
a nurse.
The most amazing nurse who will totally be tripping over people's catheters or tripping over their life support lines. Like, she is going to be the most ungraceful yet caring and loving nurse.
Yeah.
She's going to be fantastic.
She'll get pinned, and soon enough, she'll be a nurse.
If I ever get her, I'm going to be like, so, do I have, like, the inside track? Like, what can I get? Like, what are you going to hook me up with?
Yeah, right, exactly. Like, forget the bumps on my dick. What can you give me?
Those aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, right, exactly. They're here to stay. I'm going to get it again anyway.
I cannot.
You will, yeah.
I cannot.
Hey, I was talking in your...
All right, let's go to break because we need to like rein it in.
So I wanted to just quickly go back to the story, and I wanted to say,
we were talking about something.
To these parents who went out and showed their support for their transgender son, thank you for doing that. Because, again, it just that reaffirmation of your love for your child and showing them that their life is important to you and to the rest of the world. You know, acts like this really make sure that people understand that they're valued and they're loved, and that they're an important part, an integral part of your life. So thank you for doing that.
There's also something important to point out from this story. This comes out of Adelaide, Australia. Yeah. And we know what Australia has gone through recently.
That's
they went through the fight for marriage equality via public support. So showing that the majority of Australians who took place in the survey support marriage equality. This is just showing that Australia is home to people that care about one another, regardless of their sexual orientation, their gender identity, their race, their religion. It's showing that Australia collectively is a good nation of good people.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I always hear a lot of positive things, except for animals. Like spiders are like extra venomous and snakes are extra venomous.
On a scale of like medium to hard of living on a continent, Australia is extreme. It's like everything is pretty much trying to kill you.
Yeah. And so aside from
it's
that,
so true.
I mean, a lot of the...
Even kangaroos are dicks. They're pretty, but they're dicks.
Yeah, they box with you and stuff.
Yeah, and they'll kick your face in.
Yeah, and they'll smack you with their tail if you're not careful.
I just want to sit in their pouch.
Can I say a quote from Drew, the guy... whose parents got the tattoo.
Absolutely. Go for it.
He said, "It's a terrifying world out there, and we are all stronger together, than we are apart. Being trans is not a bad thing. It's different, but our differences should be celebrated. For we are the same person you have always known, but we are growing to be the best versions of ourselves."
That's beautiful.
He also encouraged parents to research and educate themselves. Most importantly, he said, is for parents to know when a transgender diverse child is supported, they will bloom into an incredible, inspirational person.
Human being, absolutely. And you know, we've said that all along on our shows. And there's a lot of support networks out there for parents if you're looking for more information on your children and how to be able to cope and deal with the fact that, you know, you have someone that wants to reach out to you for guidance and love and acceptance if you need help with that. I mean, there's so many resources out there. You know, think of your local community LGBT centers, LGBTQ centers that could possibly have ample information and even programs or meetings on other parents who may be going through the same thing that you are that could help you. So, you know, really research and think that there is help out there. And I think that if you take the time to look for it, you'll find it.
And resources.
Of course.
Like help doesn't always have to be the right term, but there are resources where you can learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. And
find support. Find other parents that have
exactly.
other.
That's right.
And there's a lot of Facebook groups or like all these other groups that you can go to that you could have meaningful conversations with people that are going through the same thing that you are.
You know, it's interesting because me and Jackie were talking yesterday about how it took me so long to realize when I came out, me and my dad had a really, it was physical. It was a very unhealthy physical altercation. And that's why I ended up leaving and why me and my dad had a really bad relationship for a very long time. But it took me so long to realize that he was struggling with the same thing that I was struggling with in a different way.
Yeah.
His was like a shame and like I failed my son.
Right.
And also like just being, a heteronormative male. And so through me educating him and through him experiencing things that I went through in life, he realized that who I am or my sexuality doesn't define me, and that at the end of the day, who I love doesn't really matter. And it is me loving somebody. It's not about fucking or sex or this. It's about loving somebody. And I think it's the same thing. I think as a transgender parent, you're going to be shocked. You're not going to know how to deal with it. But there are resources and there are other parents out there. And I wish my father, and I wish I was educated enough at the time to say, Dad, go to this group. It's a group of parents who have LGBTQ plus kids in their lives. And they will help educate you and help you understand what I'm going through and help you understand that you did nothing wrong.
Right. Because when it comes to those parents who don't understand their children that are coming out as part of the LGBTQ plus community, for them, they might still believe that it's a choice mm-hmm. at that time. They might not understand that this is how we are born. This is who we are.
And then they'll also reflect on themselves and say, what did I do
exactly.
wrong?
That's yeah. what I was talking about when you yeah. had mentioned that, like he was putting some sense of fault or mm-hmm. failure onto him yeah. as a father. Like, what did I do to cause my son to become gay?
Yeah. My oldest brother did the same thing. And I had to sit his ass down and be like, this had nothing to do with you. I like dick. It just is what it is.
He's strictly dickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, and I want to quickly mention something that, you know, has stayed with me since we've had Tony Ferriolo on the show. He had mentioned, you know, when we look at children and when we look at youngsters, they look at their parents as, at times and most times, as some of the strongest people that they know, someone that they go to for guidance. You know, you are my adult figure. You're someone that has taken care of me for most of my life. When something like this happens and your child happens to say, hey, you know, I'm transgender or I'm gay or I'm a lesbian or I'm bisexual, and you don't immediately know how to deal with it, you know, remove yourself. Mm-hmm. Go into a room, cry, let it all out, yep. do what you need to do, mm-hmm. and then come back and let's figure this out.
Right.
I'm going to amend that. Mm-hmm. I think you're 100% correct. But well, I think before you remove yourself, just reassure that you look at your child mm-hmm. or whoever it may be in your life and say, I love you. I need a minute for me.
Right.
And yeah. then come back to the
situation. Absolutely. And I think Tony was very blatant about that. He said that, yes, you do need some time for yourself, but you need to reassure your child that you do love them. There's nothing wrong with them. I just need some time to process this.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, on that note, we're going to take a break because when we come back, we do have more stories. So we're going to leave you with some music. We've got some new music today, which you'll hear. It's one of the last songs that we'll be playing on the playlist today. And we'll be right back.
It's hard to see you with a man you call your friend, but in the end, I know I don't have much time to tell you why I wanna die, but then I cry, so then I lie, so I don't make you bend time. Cause if you wanted me to move, you know I would, because I'm good at making you love me. And if I said I needed more than I came for, would you ignore me making you love me? So baby, play me on your last secret.
Oh,
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, from the break. That was Time by none other than Pat Riley, who will be our next week's guest. And also, he's been on the show before. We had him along with the cast of Afterglow, who we featured on episode 85. Wow, that was a long time ago. Mm. But yeah, he's been doing some music. As you can see,
he's got a great voice.
Soulful, mm-hmm. amazing voice, which we knew, but you know, we didn't know he was.
Actually, I did not. I did not know he was a singer.
I thought that he had mentioned it when we were talking about, you know, the show and stuff, but...
Well, we all know I pay attention, so...
Well, true. But anyway, he's just amazing.
Surely.
As you can see, he's got other music that we potentially may feature on the show as well. So we're super excited to have him on next week, and we wanted to preview that song in light of the fact that we know he's coming on next week to talk about, you know, mm-hmm. his musical endeavors. So that's awesome. So that was, again, Time by none other than Pat Riley.
Yeah, Chris, I have to make sure Chris that worked I get it really right. hard on getting us the file and booking him on the show.
I did.
Yeah. And I'm really proud of you for that.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right, so let's...
When Trisha was like, if you have time, can you, like, download that file? I'm like, bitch, she's not flying the plane. She got time.
I was like, no, I need my laptop in order to do that. I only took my iPad with me because that was the only thing that I knew that I needed to be able to do my other work that I'm doing.
Wait, so can I ask, did you watch Game of Thrones on your iPad?
I did.
Okay, and how was that?
It was amazing. It's great. You know, the connection there was amazing, but I still want to see it on my big-ass TV.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, so you know it's going to happen. So anyway, welcome back. We do have some more stories, so I'm going to kick it over to my boys so they can go ahead and kick it off and talk about some amazing things.
I want to hold my story until the end because it's like...
It's the uplifting one.
Yeah. So I'm going to throw it back to Chris.
She'll be screeching.
Yeah.
Stay tuned for that. All right, Christopher, why don't you tell us what you want to talk about?
I don't know. Do I do a gay story or do we bash the president?
I mean, let's do gay stories because this is a gay show.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're all a little bit sort of kind of gay. At least the first two are. So why don't you pick one?
All right. Well, we're going to talk about it's something that's in Mama Kim's Minute, actually. So okay. Trish and Trish put it in there so we can probably, extrapolate a little bit more about it. There was a lesbian Texas lawmaker that killed what I believe Mama Kim sent over as the Save Chick-fil-A bill.
Yes.
Now, they're calling this the License to Discriminate bill. Now, this bill, the legislation, House Bill 3172, would have barred the state government, city and county governments, and courts from taking, quote, adverse action against an individual, organization, or business for, quote, membership in, affiliation with, or contribution, donation, or other support of religious groups. That being said, its proponents said that it would have prevented actions such as the San Antonio City Council's decision not to allow a Chick-fil-A restaurant at the city's airport because of the company's donations to an anti-LGBT or to multiple anti-LGBT groups
for years now.
So can we pause? So this bill's literally saying you can't say no to this company that wants to come in.
It's saying that local governments and courts cannot take adverse action to deny certain companies to be put into certain parts throughout the state.
But if you were, say, a college, you can say, no, we don't want you on campus.
Not if it's going to be a state college. If it's going to be a private college, then probably you could.
Okay, so airports, for example, is that run
by... federally run.
That's
federally run. State or federally run.
Okay, so they have to then let those...
What this bill would say is that...
Just in Texas.
This bill was saying that they could not block the decision to allow this company in. So should this bill go into place, the ordinance that would have blocked Chick-fil-A from coming into the airport would be deemed unlawful.
Okay.
So it would protect those anti-LGBT donors and companies from being barred from entering certain conglomerates due to their views. So it would be in favor of those who want to push their anti-LGBT agendas from being barred from
yeah,
entering places.
Right. Okay.
So, and it's important to also note that this particular legislative attempt was put through by Rep. Julie Johnson. Right. She's a Democrat from Dallas. Now, this is normally the type of legislation that you would see, whether it's at the state or federal level, that Republicans are often putting forward. But I'm quite shocked to see a Democrat taking the stance.
No, she killed the bill.
She killed the
she
bill.
She killed the bill.
So, okay.
She killed the bill to discriminate. This bill was put forward by a Republican, and I will try to find his name, but this bill was put forward, all right, right there. Republican Matt Krause, who introduced the bill, said he would try to find a way to revive this legislation after it was put down, but it was a Republican who put this bill forward because he wanted to protect hateful companies.
Entities like Chick-fil-A and right, others.
From being, in his words, discriminated against for being put in maybe airports, maybe malls, anything that college towns or anything like that.
Yeah.
If people want to block, if you look at the House Bill 2, what's it?
HB2.
Yeah, House Bill 2, yeah. Right. In North Carolina, that's pretty much what this was mirroring against. It had to do, some people were calling it the Bathroom Bill 2.0.
Okay.
Nothing to do with Gay Talk 2.0. But what she was able to do, this Democrat, the Representative Julie Johnson, who is part of the LGBT caucus of Florida, was to make sure that this bill, this license to discriminate bill, was knocked down.
Okay. So I stand corrected. Julie Johnson, you have duly a well-deserved apology from me. Because when I initially read the story.
Wait, what the fuck?
What?
Well, I stand corrected.
Let's take a moment.
I thought that she was the one that introduced the bill.
What did you just say?
Trish, release the balloons. We've been waiting for this.
You stand corrected? I've got a button. Hold on. Release the doves, the balloons. Boop, boop, boop.
These nasty bitches. I hate them both. But no, I stand corrected. I mean, obviously, we're reading the story. We're talking about it. And so this woman's maneuvers in the House, which they called a point of order, mm-hmm. was able to actually bump the actual bill that would have allowed these companies from actually coming into these establishments from the debate calendar.
That's what it was.
And with doing so, she let the time expire.
That's what she bumped the bill, not to actually destroy she knocked the bill down by its deadline. There was a deadline for debate, which was last Thursday, and mm-hmm. she was able to bump it off the debate calendar. So therefore the bill was pretty much essentially dead on arrival because exactly. There was no option for debate. Now, that being said, they can still go through the Senate to work with this. Of course, with that, there'll have to be litigation. There'll have to be changes of words. There'll have to be a different process to get this put onto the Senate floor. But essentially now, she's effectively knocked the life of this bill from the House of Representatives of Texas.
So something interesting, too, in the story is that Johnson said that the legislature's newly formed LGBTQ caucus mm-hmm. came up with the strategy to kill HB 3172. First of all, the fact that you have an LGBTQ caucus, that's amazing mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's one of the best things you could ever do for yourself is ensure that you have representation for your
right.
community within any house or Senate in your state, because that ensures that you have a voice
right.
fighting for you and advocating for who you are. I don't think I've ever heard of any other state, in my recollection, that has an LGBTQ caucus.
Right.
Awesome.
And I'm sure there is, but I agree. I felt the same way when I read that. I was like, wow, of all states, Texas is one of them. Of course, we have brothers and sisters in all 50 states. But yeah, I was very surprised to see that it was coming out of Texas, that there was actually a caucus designated to the support of the LGBTQ community. But it's so important because in the House of Representatives, they are the voice of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have to have all these caucuses, you have to have the asshole caucuses who are representing the dicks, but you have to have, mm-hmm. you know, that's it. The House represents all of the people. So I was just very happy to see that Texas actually has an LGBTQ+ caucus.
So, you know, in light of this, the LGBTQ Texans are happy and relieved. And it's there's a quote here which I want to read. It says, Texans have been loud and clear. They want real resolutions for their families, not more bathroom nonsense. Mm-hmm. So that's a statement issued by Glenn Maxey. He's of the Legislative Affairs Director for the Texas Democratic Party. The Republican Bathroom Bill 2.0, as you noted, was another reckless, cruel, and anti-LGBTQ proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm happy that this happened, and you know, yeah. I would like to see, because again, this is the first time that I've ever noticed that there was an LGBTQ caucus in any state legislature. I would like to see more of that. I would like to see maybe Connecticut have their own. Maybe they do, and we don't know about it, and we have some research to do.
Or we'll get an email.
Yeah, but that's sure awesome. That's awesome news, though.
That is good news. And, yeah. You know, it's not over. Like I said, this can still be put down to the Senate floor.
Okay.
Obviously, the U.S. Senator, one of the U.S. senators from Texas, Ted Cruz, of course, is going to fight this and use his support to try to put this down. Like I said, it can be put down to the Senate floor, but then eventually I'm sure something like this will get sent to the Supreme Court mm-hmm. of Texas. And we've seen their conservative courts, make it incredibly difficult, near impossible for reproductive rights for women.
That's right.
So it is still an uphill battle. Yes, the House of Representatives did a fantastic thing for the people of Texas and a fantastic thing for the people of America. And we hope that they stand true to what they're fighting for and continue this fight, because you have to stay strong, because it's going to, the fight's not over.
Yeah.
It is right. Not over.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how all of this develops and how it just keeps, what happens next, right?
Absolutely.
So we'll definitely put a pin on that and make sure to check back on the story and talk about it at some point in the future.
Yes.
So thank you. And being that we're on politics anyway, Christopher, why don't you talk about this next story? Because I think that it's important that we know what's happening in current events, especially in presidential
politics. Oh, so we are going to talk about that.
Yeah,
one.
I would like for you to touch base on this, because I think it's important, especially for our show.
Yeah, and I really want to point it out there for those people who might still be leaning or supportive of the president, because this is actually a very disgusting day. We had scum visit our White House, along with the scum that occupies the White House today.
Mm-hmm.
A man visited the White House that was quoted saying in a 2018 speech, quote, "We must state that we do not want to be diverse. We do not want our own color, traditions, and national culture to be mixed with those of others." This man was also the first foreign leader to endorse then-candidate Donald Trump for president. This man is the Prime Minister of Hungary, Viktor Orban, and he met for the first time in decades with a U.S. president today.
And of course, it had to be this one.
Of course. And Donald Trump
I wonder why.
Right. And Donald Trump was quoted saying, "I know he's a tough man, but he's a respected man." Now, this respected man has rolled back democratic checks on powers. He's mused about creating a European ethnostate and erected a razor wire fence around the border of Hungary to keep migrants out, which was, of course, angered the European Union.
Why does this asshole keep meeting with these people?
I think he's
trying to learn how to be a dictator.
That's exactly. He runs a totalitarian mentality. This man is trying. Donald Trump is trying to get a totalitarian United States. That's why he rails so much against any essence of socialism. And if you look at this man, Orban was largely, he was pushed away from meeting in the White House. Conservative George W. Bush would not meet with him.
Mm-hmm.
Our beloved President Obama would not meet with him. The only time that he was able to come and speak with someone in the recent decades was he spoke with then Vice President Dick Cheney. But the president,
of course he did.
But the president refused to sit down with this man.
And with reason, right? It's like you've said it very, very, very well. This man is, first of all, he has always been Donald Trump, right? He's the head of the Trump Organization, and he has always run his business with a mentality of, it's what I say goes. That's not the way government works, and I think that's what he's trying to do here, and which is why he meets with people like this who are successfully doing this kind of stuff in their countries back home and running things, like if they're a one-man show and no one else is going to have a say in how they run their country.
I am so confused as to why Bill Clinton got impeached.
Obstruction of justice.
No, I mean, I know why.
Oh.
Well, meanwhile, we have Donald Trump in the White House doing God knows what.
Obstructing justice.
And inviting all these people in, meddling with elections, and he's still in the fucking White House. Like, what the fuck? The man literally lied and had sex with another woman.
Mm-hmm. He got his dick sucked.
Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, that's not okay. But as a president, that's not okay. But like, what are the American people thinking? What are the Trump supporters thinking?
Well,
honestly, like, it does not make any sense to me.
But it's not even the Trump supporters. Like, obviously, the House of Representatives could impeach Donald Trump.
But the Senate.
But it won't go through the Senate.
Exactly. Like, it's
and
going,
the thing
but,
is.
But, well, and, well, but that, that's a bigger issue, right? Because now we have not only the fact that we have Donald Trump in the White House, right? And he could win the next election. He could get impeached. We don't know what's going to happen. But
don't.
At the end of the day, the problem is we have a systemic issue with the fact that the Republicans are supporting somebody like Donald Trump.
And they're doing that because they have big industry and big corporations actually
it's fucking blood
funding
money.
And pumping money into their campaigns to keep them in line, because what Donald is doing with the economy is making them richer and making middle Americans, like middle class Americans and those that are in poverty, making them poorer or not having them gain any benefits to some of the stuff that we're putting in place under this administration. What they're doing is they're standing by him because this is making their people, the people who fund their campaigns, money.
He's literally cutting ties with our actual allies create allies with people we don't want to be allies
with. Yeah, he's converting adversary to ally. And vice versa. When you look at the people that he wants to be buddy-buddy with, he wants to be buddy-buddy with Putin, which means he wants to be buddy-buddy with Kadyrov, mm-hmm. where there's another gay purge going on in Chechnya. Okay. He wants to be buddy-buddy with Duterte of the Philippines. He wants to be buddy-buddy with the far-right extremist of Brazil. He wants to be buddy-buddy with what he calls Little Rocket Man Kim, though he goes back and forth when he wants to be buddy-buddy with them. He wants to be buddy-buddy with the Saudi regimes. He wants to be buddy-buddy with Yemen. He wants to go with the bad guys.
And what people need to realize and actually pay close attention to is how he describes these individuals. He describes them as strong, mm-hmm. as smart, mm-hmm. as powerful, right? And these are things that he's admiring in these people.
Meanwhile, I think every single person that meets with him is of this caliber, of this, like, you know, what we're talking about. They literally are like, this man is so stupid and he has no idea.
He can be manipulated. He can be manipulated.
They're literally like, you're going to give me power again. And I appreciate it.
And one of the most important things that you need to realize is that these people had no power whatsoever. People
within their own country, they did.
Within their own country. But we had major players in global economics and in global affairs that wanted nothing to do with these people. They didn't want to acknowledge the fact that these people had power, because that was the only thing that was keeping them in some sort of check, right?
And also, like, when's the last time we heard about him meeting with Trudeau or anyone that's part of our ally? Everybody that is our allies have literally written us off. They're not meeting with us. Trump is meeting with people because those are the people that will meet with him, because no one else will.
I mean, Pompeo did stop in Brussels today, so it's part of his administration is reaching out. But yes, I completely agree with you. I don't know the last time that Donald Trump met with Prime Minister Trudeau, especially after
Angela Merkel. No one.
Yeah, because they don't want to. The G2 summit meetings have proved pointless. Almost the only thing more pointless than those meetings with Trump's attendance are the last summit that he had with North Korean dictator, who he does not call a dictator. He always calls him Chairman Kim, and the people in his administration will call him Chairman Kim. But it's another thing I wanted to point out that's important about this. Prime Minister Orban of Hungary was saying that, quote, "We are proud to stand with the United States on fighting against illegal immigration, on terrorism, and to protect and help the Christian communities around the world."
Meanwhile, he's a terrorist.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing, too, is that, you know, by him meeting with these people, and even though he doesn't come out and specifically say, I don't like gay people. I don't like this.
Well, clearly he definitely doesn't.
When he meets with these individuals, he's legitimizing the stances that these people take mm-hmm. back home. He's making it known without even having to say a word that it is okay for these people to do what they're doing to members of our community, to women all around the world. He's legitimizing them.
He's feeding into the narrative of hate. I mean, when you meet with somebody that is oppressing a people, their people, no matter who they are, mm-hmm. whether you're gay, straight, black, white, Hispanic, no, it doesn't matter. They're your people. When you are putting them down and then you're meeting with them, you're shaking hands with them, and you're agreeing with them, and you're saying that they're a good person or they're a this or a that, and you're giving them a platform and power, you are literally feeding into the narrative that he's been feeding into since this fucking campaign started of hate. And you are just pushing that percentage of hate crime through the fucking roof. Mm-hmm. That's all this man is doing. He's creating an environment where people hate one another. And he's dividing the country.
Right, he's absolutely dividing the country, and he's pushing for hate, but that's not all he's doing. What he's doing is trying to disassemble and disembowel democracy as we know it in the United States.
But how do you do that? You do that by separating people out.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. It's been done before. The divisiveness is the key to tearing a nation apart. And Donald Trump has been instrumental, and he's been brilliant in doing so. I hate to use that word.
You're right, though.
But that's where his brilliance is.
One of the most critical things that he's done to sow so much discourse between countrymen, right? Because we're all Americans. One of the first things that he started doing, and he's been doing so well, is attacking the media, right? Mm-hmm. He's making the media be the enemy of the state. Mm-hmm. And so people are no longer believing what it is that's facts. Facts that are actually being put out there are not being believed. Right. And then he puts out his alternate facts or his
alternative facts.
And then people, his base, predominantly his base, start taking this and running with it
because they think it's real,
and it's very sickening and disheartening to see.
But then you see interviews with these people, and they have no idea what they're talking about.
Of course. Right, exactly, and that's why I said that Donald Trump. Like, yes, I'm in school and I'm studying the Constitution now, but Donald Trump has no idea what the fucking Constitution is. He doesn't even know if someone put it in his pocket. He wouldn't be here
if it weren't for that goddamn Constitution.
It goes to show that Donald Trump is so gung-ho for the First Amendment. He's so gung-ho for it. He is all about freedom of speech, letting us preach the hate that we want, but then he disregards the freedom of the press. Uh-huh. The press...
That's because he's being bashed.
Because
he believes in majority the First Amendment of America until it's about him.
Until it's about him, absolutely. And he agrees with the Constitution until it goes against him.
But that being said, though, we have to also acknowledge something as well. Late night shows. I love them. We all watch them because we work all day. We don't have time to, like, you know, sit around and watch the news all day. Some people do. A lot of people don't. So we catch up on updates, CNN updates, whatever we can, and we take that in, we digest it however we can. But then you see something like, I love Stephen Colbert, don't get me wrong, but somebody like Stephen Colbert, where he's making light of a really bad fucking situation. He's making people laugh about it, and that's what's making people complacent. And people need to stop being complacent and acknowledge, oh shit, this is a real problem. And we actually need to call our legislators and say, you need to do something about this, because this is fucking scary. It's not just something to laugh about. We need to actually call and say something. Send an email. Make a phone call. Because this is scary. This is not okay. And the more we just laugh at it, the more we're just going to forget about it.
But honestly, I think that there should be a bill introduced that in order for the president to meet with any other heads of state, that there would have to be some sort of session in Congress to approve such meeting. Because it should always be a meeting that would be in the interest of the American people. And who better to decide whether that interest exists than those that are representing the people of the United States.
There was a bipartisan group of senators that wrote to the president on this past Friday expressing their concerns about Hungary's prime minister coming to speak with them. That being said, the president has the constitutional right to mm-hmm. bring people into the White House. That is, he is the head of the executive branch. Mm-hmm. So Congress
has the power to pass laws that could prevent that.
Absolutely, they do have the power, but the president was using his right, mm-hmm. executing his right. That's what I was looking for, to bring in whoever he wants.
You're 100% correct, and he has that right, and that is an important right for a president to hold and have, because a president should be bringing people like this individual into the White House to have a conversation about changing the world.
Right.
Not not sitting in the shit that they're creating. Right.
And with that being said, absolutely, I do agree with you, Tom. What you were proposing is more of a parliamentary system, which I would I would like the United States to have more. You know, I prefer that the Congress be. I mean, even though we have a balance, I prefer that the Congress have the stronger
it's
say
important
at the end
to
of the
have
day.
All those three balances, right?
Absolutely.
All equal parts of government. But I think that when the actions of one goes against the will, one, of the American people, or two, it's not in the best interest of the American people as a whole, that I think that the body that creates and legislates has a right and should have a right to be able to curtail such activity, because in the end, that just hurts national security internally. And I also want to point out that Congress, or specifically the House, has the power of the purse. And all of these visits, all of these state visits take money. Cut that shit out. Bitch, you want to have dictators come meet in our White House, in the People's House? We're going to cut your funding for it.
Yeah.
They have the power of the
purse.
Yeah,
because all...
And they can do that.
All spending bills have to originate in the House of Representatives.
That's right.
That's where they start. So, like you said, that's perfectly said. The power of the purse relies in the House of Representatives. Because they're the people, they're the representatives that are closest to the people. Now, Congress can pass legislation or... It's not really a it's not legislation because it's not a law, but when you look at what the president, when he put the executive order for the national emergency on the border, Congress put forth something to block that, and of course he vetoed that. Now, Congress could do something, perhaps, to block certain foreign leaders from coming in, but then the president could veto such proposal, and then it would have to go back and get the...
Supermajority? Yeah, three-fourths.
Three-fourths majority to override that. So it can be done through Congress, but it's very difficult with the ones that you have that are fighting for democracy and the ones that want to suck on the teat of Donald Trump.
Yeah, well, it's
I know, right? Imagine the lint in there.
It's a scary world that we're living in right now, and hopefully this nightmare will be over in 2020, I would hope. Although there is very large talks about how... peaceful that transition may be if that were to occur, which I hope it does. But that's a story for another day. Mm-hmm. We do have a story. Let's see. Yeah, we definitely need to wrap it up. So yeah. I'm going to throw it over to Trish because she's got something very, very, very amazing and beautiful and happy to talk about so that we can bring it home.
So this story comes to you from Mama Kim.
Thanks, Mama Kim.
And I could not have been happier when she sent it. Actually, saying, this is for Nick specifically. Uh-huh. So this week, I'm going to talk to you about gay penguins.
Of course.
I mean, gay animals, right? So we have more gay penguins, and it's so amazing. So in this article, it's talking about the majority of penguins living in this aquarium.
Irish.
Are gay. They're gay. And it's a springtime miracle. So in this Irish aquarium... They have, it's called the Dingle Ocean World Aquarium in Kerry. The Dingle Ocean World Aquarium in Kerry confirmed that 15 Gentoo penguins, 8 of them, are in same-sex relationships.
We have to find a spot in the world where these, what were they called again?
Penguins?
Gentoo penguins?
Gentoo penguins. Oh. We got to find them because we've had a lot of stories
They're
about,
in Ireland.
Yeah. Well, they're gay, and I love it. But go. I'm sorry.
So anyway, so speaker to the Irish Mirror Ocean World's animal manager, Louise Overy. Overy? Yeah, I think that's right. That just sounds like an ovary, so it just seems weird.
Overy?
So they have two homosexual pairs, two lesbians, two gay males, and they can't tell sexual organs if it's a male and a male when they're actually like together. So they base it off the fact that they're not producing children. So right now they have 15 penguins and 8 of them are gay, not producing animals. And it's so adorable. So the Gentoo penguins present individuals with stones as if like a diamond, right?
So, like courting them.
Yeah, when they court. So like that's their way of flirting. They court each other with like these stones and then they build these nests with the stones and then they're all falling in love and it's so adorable.
The picture, can they see
it?
Oh,
I wish they could.
Can they see it?
I don't know if they can see it.
It's too little. You got to make it big.
So one person said, we have had gay couples here before. 5 years ago, Penelope and Missy got plenty of coverage, but we never expected it to catch on. So we have, like, it. What I continually harp on is that it's so awesome to see homosexuality in the animal kingdom, because it makes you feel as though
it should have always
been. It's natural. It's completely natural, and it makes complete sense. And I don't know about the situation, but you know, in a lot of situations with homosexuality, you tend to have homosexual relationships, or people are born into a family because of a need within that family, right? Because there's something going on in the family. The family's either grown too large, or there's a moment of weakness within that family. And somebody who is homosexual has a higher level of emotional intelligence. And so they can support that family and really keep it together. And I think that's what's so beautiful about this. So now we have a huge group. So 15 Gen 2 penguins, and more than half of them are gay, and they're supporting a huge group of penguins that are thriving in this Australian zoo aquarium.
Irish.
Australian, Irish, same thing.
Almost
aquarium, but it's amazing. Right? So we have gay penguins.
Wait. Those two countries are
nowhere near
opposite sides.
I know, but we were talking about Australia earlier, and then
if you look at the end of this article, it says homosexual behavior is found in around 450 species of animals worldwide.
Actually, it's 451 because there's Chris.
Okay, 451. And we stand corrected by the scientist of Gay Talk 2.0. but when you really think about it, the species that's disrupted nature is mankind.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones that said that this is wrong. This is an abomination. We're the abomination. We're the ones who are going against nature. Well, we're the ones who are doing
that. I
feel
good.
Yeah, but not about homosexuality.
No.
That doesn't go against nature.
Exactly. About
the way we function within our world.
Yeah. No. What I'm saying about deeming homosexuality against nature, we are crossing nature's path, because homosexuality is natural. And it's part of nature. So by humankind saying that this is wrong, we're crossing nature.
Yeah,
interrupting nature's natural state.
I talk about this every single time we talk about gay animals. I talk about that TED Talk. And I made Jackie watch it the other day. Like, I was like, this TED Talk means so much to me because it makes so much sense. When you have a family that can no longer support itself, but you continually have children, what's going to happen? The mother is going to place epigenetic markers on the genes to change that individual to a homosexual, because they're not going to breed more. But what they're going to do is have a higher EQ and then support the family to come together and stay together and be a stronger unit. And I really, really believe 100% in this TED Talk. I think it makes so much sense. That's why homosexuality hasn't just phased out, because when a family needs that emotional connection and that emotional strength, a homosexual is born to keep that family together and to keep that family stronger. And I think it's the same thing in the animal kingdom.
And who are you kidding? You love gay penguins.
Yeah, I do.
Of course.
Yeah. But
I love gay all animals.
Exactly. It's like, you're like, give me an animal kingdom where it shows us that homosexuality is absolutely normal, and Nick is going to just completely fall head over heels for any story that has to do with animals. So if you find them, because you did mention there's well over 450 species.
451, including me.
Including him. We've talked about gay dolphins, penguins, elephants. Mm-hmm. We talked about several
flamingos,
other things. So
flamingos, that was the one.
Send us anything that you have on gay animals, and we'll feature it on the show, because I think it's important to just really focus on the diversity of what, you know, the spectrum of between humans and animals, and what homosexuality can or where it can exist.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say something on something that you just recently said about the TED Talk. So
yeah.
I think that I believe we did it before in the past, but it's been so prevalent in our conversations. I think we should post it on tonight's episode.
Yeah, I'll
the
post
extra
it.
Video yeah. so that you guys can really see and get firsthand explanation of what this individual is laying out.
Yeah, it's a long TED Talk, and it's interesting though, because the theory behind it, like I was saying, when a family gets too large, the mother will place these epigenetic markers on the genes to activate the gay gene, right? Creating that person who then has a higher EQ, keeps the family together. But in this story, the child in the family that's gay is actually the eldest. So in his theory, it doesn't make sense. But then he goes on to talk about when the mother was pregnant, why he thinks his oldest son is gay, because the mother was going through something very hard during the pregnancy. And the mother literally was like, I just need somebody to be here and hold me and always be there for me and support me right now.
Yeah.
And so in that, she, you know, placed these epigenetic markers on this child and then had a kid who literally, as the doctor says in the TED Talk, makes the family a stronger unit.
That's awesome.
So.
That's awesome. All right. Well, thank you for sharing your penguin story with us, because we do love those. I think that, again, as we said before, we love stories about animals and being gay in nature. But we are going to move on. We have three more things that we're going to talk, we'll cover, and then we'll close the show. So why don't we throw it back to Nick, because he's going to do our very next one.
I know you almost led me. I was going to burn that girl that we had talked about a couple weeks ago for my political science class, but I was like, let's keep things nice.
Oh no, I wanted to do that.
We'll get to it. We'll get to it.
All right.
Oh, she'll be burned.
Okay. Talk about that on next week's episode.
Perhaps. You got to get me set up.
All right. We're going to work on that for you. So Nick, why don't you tell us what we're doing next?
All right. So it's been a minute, but it's about to be with Mama Kim. So it's Mama Kim's minute.
That's right.
And we actually covered two of her stories on the show today. So thank you, Mama Kim. So I have three things to tell you. So if you time me, I will be ready to go.
All right.
In 5, 4, 3, 2. All right. So this week's Mama Kim's minute: Maine is one step closer to protecting LGBTI youth from conversion therapy. It passed. Maine would be the 17th state to ban this harmful practice.
And they're banning styrofoam. Go ahead.
Lavender Scare Bill seeks to address mid-century purging of gay federal workers. During the Lavender Scare from the 1940s through the 60s, thousands of gay employees were fired or forced to resign from federal workforce. Third, Republicans reject. Republicans reject
numbers
conversion therapy. The conversion therapy ban in Minnesota. This is not okay. An amendment in Minnesota that would have had banned conversion therapy from minors was shot down by Republican senators.
Can I get a fuck
surprise?
Her?
Fuck her! And then last but not least, India Moore is Elle magazine's first transgender cover star.
And if you're not familiar with who India Moore is, she is one of the stars from the
TV show Pose.
Pose, which was on, oh my God, FX. Thank you. And
Released their second season. Is that correct?
They're about to, I believe. Yeah. And it's great. Great show. I highly recommend that you watch it. There is a lot of substance that has to do with our community, and it's big. Yeah.
I have some issues with this number three one. Uh-huh. We got to read into that, and we got to talk about that.
Yeah, no, yeah. We will dive more into that.
Yeah, we have to really dive into that, because that is not okay.
No, not okay at all.
Also, my second grievance, we should probably change gay talk term on this day in gay history, because Trish is just Trish.
I know, but everybody loves Trish. So this week's gay talk term, of course, brought to you by GayRealEstate.com.
Spaced that weirdly.
I did. It was weird. Is Easy Make. So this comes from the 40s. Easy Make is a man easily persuaded to participate in a homosexual act. Don't let those butch shoulders throw you. He's an easy make. Easy Make is your gay talk term this week.
$20 is $20.
Easy Makes. All right. Oh my God, I saw that shirt at a store somewhere. I was like, I ain't gay, but 20 is 20.
Yeah, right? $20 is $20.
I was like, okay. All right, so Christopher?
All right. I mean, to this day, you can almost buy you a pack of cigarettes in the state of Connecticut at
$20. That's right.
Yeah. Not bad. So,
did I mention that cigs was like $6?
Oh yeah, that's Florida.
I know, right? So our cartons are upstairs, right?
Somewhere.
Yeah,
in the mail.
Yeah, we'll find them. We'll find them.
Before we go into this, so I originally intended to buy you guys cigarettes and cartons, but I went to the duty free at the Orlando airport.
You can't do duty.
You
free.
Can't do duty
you
free.
Can't duty. You can't. No, do duty
only
free
international.
Doing,
yeah.
If you're flying nationally, I was
no. Thinking, you never can.
They were $45 a carton.
Yeah, you can't do duty free unless you're leaving the nation,
which is why your cartons are in the mail.
She's lying. We're not
They'll
getting
get
cartons.
Yeah.
Anyway, on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
This is a good one. I like when we see good things. So when this day, May 13th, 2013 in the state of Minnesota, Minnesota becomes the 12th U.S. state to approve same-sex marriage statewide.
Yes, Minnesota. Minnesota.
And then Minnesota, don't you know that? And then 2 years following, it became the law of the land.
That's right. After 34 states had it on the books or were either by court ruling were forced to accept the marriage equality.
Because at that point, it would have gone to Congress and become a constitutional amendment. That's right.
But the Supreme Court made the decision and it is done. All right, guys, listen, if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as we publish our episode. You can also support us on Patreon. You, our listeners, can help support the show with a monetary donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
Next week, we're incredibly excited to welcome back to the show Pat Riley. Pat, he's an actor. He's a singer with a gorgeous voice. He's a songwriter. He's previously joined us on the show during his run on Afterglow, which we were all luckily able to attend.
And, well, I mean, you were.
Oh, yeah, you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
Right.
I was definitely lucky to attend.
It was so great. And then you were a disgusting hot mess in the morning, but I still loved you. That's how you know I love you, because I can wake up next to you.
Was that the time that he like woke up and be like, I need a mimosa.
Yeah.
When don't I say I need a mimosa?
Fact. Anyway, let's keep it on Pat. Yeah. No, he's a very talented actor, singer, songwriter. You should definitely check him out on Instagram because his stories are hilarious. Again, we featured him on our show during episode 85. So definitely check that out to hear about him. And we look forward to speaking with him next week.
That's right.
And let me just say, Dr. G was supposed to be on the show today. He was not because of a scheduling conflict, but we will work it out. He will be on the show this month. That being said, thank you to Mama Kim for continually providing us amazing content.
That's right.
Is including, but not limited to, gay penguins.
Yay, and gay animals. Penguins.
Thank you, Mama Kim. Claps for her. And happy Mother's Day, by the
way.
Happy Mother's Day.
To all the mommies out there.
I texted mine.
All right, Christopher.
I'm kidding. I called her.
I have a box for you. It's full of...
Rubbers!
That's right.
Can I take three out?
Pull them out.
No, not three.
Yeah.
We're just going to put a rubber on it. I don't care how many numbers it is. All right. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0 at gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
And if you need to reach out to us, you can do so by heading over to our website and clicking on the Contact Us tab at the top of your web browser, where you can leave comments, you can suggest topics, you can leave a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us at 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need the numbers, it is 334-429-8255. Do not forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we also do a video version of our show for our Patreon subscribers. I would like to thank you all, ladies and gents. That is our show. Y'all have a good night.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.